Hafa day, and welcome to Harvest Echoes from Harvest Baptist Church on Guam. Since our founding in 1975, pastors, evangelists, and missionaries have traveled from all over the world to Guam to speak to our people, preaching and teaching the Word of God. We're providing you access to this rich archive of sermons and lessons on Harvest Echoes. Our mission is to help people develop a heart for God. These messages, presented in conferences and special services at Harvest, seek to point you toward the Lord Jesus Christ and His Word. Today, a message from evangelist Steve Pettit. It was presented in November of 2008. The title of the message, The USA in Bible Prophecy.
The Bible does not leave us in the dark concerning the future of this world. God created the world, God sustains the world, and one day God is going to end this world. It will not continue on as it is. Tonight I want us to read in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 tonight, beginning in verse 7, as we see some very important scriptures that the Apostle Paul gives us concerning things to come, the future of what God is going to do in this world. Beginning in verse 7, we read these words, "And to you who are troubled, rest with us, when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with His mighty angels, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power. When He shall come to be glorified in His saints and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. Wherefore also we pray always for you, that our God would count you worthy of this calling and fulfill all the good pleasure of His goodness and the work of faith with power, that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you and ye in Him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ." As we begin tonight, I want to just start out by saying that without a doubt, the Bible, the Word of God, is the most amazing book that has ever been written. It is the only book that God ever wrote. It is the only book that reveals the history of the world from its beginning to its end. And the first opening line of the Bible we read, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." In the last book of the Bible, the book of the Revelation, it states, "I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away." The Bible is really the history of His story. And should we be surprised by that statement? What does Jesus say about Himself? He says, "I am the Alpha and the Omega. I am the beginning and the end." The scripture says, "For of Him and to Him and through Him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen." Everything starts with God. Everything is sustained, held together by God. And one day everything is going to be stopped by God. And it is all in the hands of Jesus Christ. For Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So what do we have in the pages of the Bible? We have an accurate record of what happened yesterday. That's called history. We also have an accurate record of what is going to happen tomorrow. What do we call that? We call that prophecy or predicted history. Now, the question that I would like to propose tonight is, where does the United States of America, our country, our home, where does this fit into the prophecies of the Word of God? Well, let's begin tonight with some very general statements, some very basic things that we are absolutely certain that is going to happen in the future. And in the first place, we are absolutely confident that the Bible says that Jesus Christ will return again. Folks, I want to say it and declare it as loud as I can. Jesus Christ is coming again. The Bible tells us in Acts chapter 1 and verse 11, as the disciples stood on the Mount of Olives and they watched Jesus ascend into heaven, an angel spoke to them. He said, "You men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven?" I remember the first time I read that, I thought, well, what else would they do? I mean, if you just saw Jesus go up, do you think you'd stand there and gaze too? Of course you would. They said, "This same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall go in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. He shall come back in the same way that he went up." Revelation chapter 1 and verse 7, "Behold, he comes with clouds and every eye shall see him." Mark 13, 26, Jesus said to the Jewish leaders of his day, he says, "They shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and with great glory." Jesus said, "I'm going to come again." You say, "Preacher, how are you so sure he's going to come the second time?" The answer is quite simple, because Jesus Christ came the first time. And if he came the first time and fulfilled every prophecy, will he not come the second time and fulfill every prophecy? Let me tell you something, folks, that Jesus Christ does not come again. He's the biggest liar that ever lived, and we are duped and all fools to believe in his second coming. So what do we discover? We discovered, number one, that Jesus is coming again. We read that tonight in the passage of Scripture. But then secondly, we are absolutely sure that when he comes again, Jesus Christ is going to judge all nations. As we read it tonight in 2 Thessalonians, he will be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels. He will come back in flaming fire. Fire in the Bible is always a symbol of the judgment of God. He will take judgment and vengeance on those that know not God. They will be punished with everlasting destruction. So what do we find? We find that Christ is going to cause all nations to give an account to him. All kings will bow before him, all princes and all people. Think about it, folks. Every one of you in this building tonight will one day have to stand before God. Disappointed unto man wants to die, and after this will come the judgment. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ that we may receive the things that we've done in our body, whether it be good or whether it be bad. And so Christ is going to come back. The first time he came back to save. The second time Jesus comes back to judge men for their sins. So the question tonight is, where does all this fit into the prophecies concerning the United States and biblical prophecy? Well, let me make a statement about the way that I would interpret Bible prophecy, because there is more than one way to interpret the promises of God. And the way that I interpret it would not be inconsistent with the way your church interprets it. And that is, I interpret the Bible literally. And that is where the Scripture speaks literally on a subject. I don't read into it something that it doesn't mean or what it doesn't say. And so when I interpret the Bible, what I discover is the Bible says Jesus Christ is going to come back, and he has made a promise to the Jewish people that he will set up a kingdom on this earth. I believe he's going to return before the kingdom is set up, so we will say his return is pre-millennial or pre-millennium, before the age comes. And before Christ comes back, there are definitely some events that must take place before Christ returns. How close are we to the coming of Christ? Well, let me tell you something. We are far closer today than they were in the church age when the church began 2,000 years ago. But do you realize that the Apostle Paul lived every day of his life looking for and anticipating that the Lord could come today? How many of you would be excited if Jesus came back today? Would you say amen? Amen. I hope you would be. How close are we? Well, we know a number of things must take place before the Lord returns. The first one is that before Christ comes back, there will be a return of the nation of Israel. The Jewish people spread out all over the world. You remember back during World War II where Hitler killed 6 million Jews? Why were there 6 million Jews living in Poland and Germany and other countries? Because they were there over the hundreds of years that the Jews were living outside the land of Israel. Every Orthodox Jew on Sabbath day, where they have the Sabbath evening meal, prays, hoping that one day they would be back in Jerusalem. And do you know what? God answered that prayer. Because in 1948, on the 14th of May, the United Nations General Assembly declared Israel as a state in the land of its forefathers. But I want to say to you tonight, Israel became a nation not because of the United Nations, but because of the promises of God. And the very fact that the nation of Israel is in existence is a testimony of the fact that when God makes a promise, He keeps His promise. On the 24th of May, 1991, Operation Solomon took place where 15,000 Ethiopian Jews were picked up in 47 airplanes from Addis Ababa, Ethiopia. 7 babies were born in the process. And in Zephaniah chapter 3 and verse 10, it says, "From beyond the rivers of Ethiopia, my suppliants, even the daughter of my dispersed, shall bring mine offering." And today there are over 5 million Jewish people living in the land of Israel. Woe be unto the nation who is not willing to be supportive of the nation of Israel. The worst thing the United States of America could ever do is turn their back on Israel. By the way, why is the United States so supportive of Israel? Because the United States has people that understand the Bible. People that don't understand the Bible don't know why you're supporting the Israelis. Folks, you know why we support the Israelis? Because God has made a promise that He's not finished with the nation of Israel. We are living in the church age. And I believe there's a difference between the church in Israel, and God is not finished with His people. He's not finished with His promises. He's going to keep them and fulfill them. Before the king returns, there must be the return of the nation of Israel. Then number two, before there can be a return of the Lord into this world, there must be the revival of the ancient Roman Empire. Now, who are these people? Well, in 1957, in a treaty called the Treaty of Rome, European nations began to bind together to remove trade barriers and cooperate in foreign policy. That group today is now known as the European Union. It consists of more than 10 nations, at least 12 nations. In 2002, they enforced a united currency called the euro. They are very large. They are very powerful. Their population is bigger than the United States of America. Their military force combined together is more than what we have in the United States of America. And they are a very powerful force. Is that the revival of the Roman Empire? We don't really know. We really don't know. And before the Lord comes back, there must be this revival of the ancient Roman Empire. And then number three, the third thing that must take place before the Lord returns is a rising resentment towards Israel in its right to exist. As we read in the scripture, as the great battle, the last days that are centered around the land of Israel, there is mounting opposition coming from the north and from the east and from the south. This resentment is a confederated hatred and a mounting opposition against them. There's no question tonight that the war on terrorism that we are facing here in the United States of America is definitely because of our philosophy and our support of Israel. But there must be that confederation. And then finally, number four, the fourth thing that must take place is that there must be a reconstruction of the Jewish temple on the Temple Mount. Today in the city of Jerusalem, there are a group of very Orthodox Jews who have already made the implements for the worship of the temple. Your pastor and I have been there. This group is called the Institute of the Temple Mount. These are Jewish people who have researched in close detail what should be the dress of the priests, their implements, and the types of sacrifices. They've already made the implements. I've already seen them. They have a golden lampstand that they had like they had in the temple. They have already made one out of gold. I've seen it standing out in public in the old city of Jerusalem, in the Jerusalem quarter. Before the Lord comes back, there's going to be this temple that is rebuilt. They have lists of names of Jewish men who actually can go back and prove that they were in the line of the Levitical priesthood. They already have the clothing for the priest already made. They are already looking for the coming of the Messiah. The only thing that waits in their mind is the temple that must be rebuilt. So before the Lord comes back, there must be a reconstruction of the Jewish temple. You say, well, preacher, you've said all this tonight, but you haven't said one word about the United States of America. I thought you would be thinking that tonight. Where does the USA fit in Bible prophecy? Well, it's very interesting that the silence of the Bible is deafening. You don't find the United States of America mentioned in the Bible. You have lots of nations mentioned. Lots of them. You have specific leaders where God prophesied before the leader was ever born that he would come into the world and God would use them. But it says nothing specifically about the United States. So anything we say from this point forward, we can only surmise. History has proven time and time again that nations come and nations go. There are entire civilizations that today no longer exist, that at once they were the most powerful nation on that part of a continent. In Psalm chapter 75, verse 6, it says, "For promotion comes neither from the east, nor from the west, nor from the south, but God is the judge. He puts down one and he sets up another." We go back and we read in the book of Isaiah, and God says the nations are as a drop of a bucket. You take a bucket and you take a little eyedropper and take some water in it and squeeze it and drop out one little drop, and it falls and it hits the bottom of that bucket and splatters. That's the United States of America in God's eyes. None of us are that big. So what is going to happen to America? Tim LaHaye, the author of Left Behind, said these words, "One of the hardest things for American prophecy students to accept is the future of the United States is not clearly mentioned in Bible prophecy. Yet our nation is the only superpower in the world today. The sounds of silence may say more than we realize." And so tonight, I want to give you very quickly five plausible options. These are not the only ones. Perhaps you would come up with more than what I would come up with. But I want to give you five possibilities for the United States, where this all is going to land down. The first thing is this, that God simply chose not to mention the USA specifically. He just simply chose not to mention it, and we really don't know what's going to happen. This is possible. But we must consider the fact that the USA, at least at this point in history, is the dominant political and military power, and there's going to be a change in the end. We know that. It seems to indicate that possibly that America is no longer a major influence. One of the great writers of Bible prophecy, John Walford, said, "Scriptural evidence concludes that America in the end times is not a major power and does not figure largely in either the political, economic, or religious aspects of the world." Now, we really don't know that. But that's one option. The second option is this, that the United States of America may experience a fall from without. We all understand the fact that things could hurt us. Things could cripple us. A destructive force may come in. We have seen the effects of 9/11. 19 men with box cutters changed the world in just a few hours. And then thirdly, there's a third possible option, and that is the United States of America could experience a fall from within. In other words, there could be some serious destruction. So it's very possible that we could experience something within. But then number four, the United States of America could become a part of a globalistic society. And that's an aspect of our future that none of us here fully understand. We have always been our own country. We have always been more protectionist of our country's rights than we have. And by the way, that goes all the way back to George Washington. All the way back to George Washington. The reason why we've always been reluctant to get involved in wars because we always protected our own interests for our own country. Whenever we got into wars, there were various reasons for it. There had to be just causes for it. And yet we have no idea 10 or 15 years from now, where are we going to be? Are we going to be in a country where we are now a part of a globalistic society, where there may be complete change in our monetary system, where there are going to be decisions that will be made and bring them all one? It could be that we become the leader of that globalistic society. We don't really know. And then number five, and that is this, and we realize from the scripture that it is very possible that what is going to happen is when the rapture of the church takes place, that there is going to be a complete transformation of our whole country. Would you take your Bibles and turn with me back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and look with me at verse 16? The Bible says, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together in the clouds," the Bible says, "to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with these words." Now this passage of Scripture that I just read to you is one of the most mysterious passages in the New Testament concerning prophecy. Because the Bible says that there's going to come a day in which the dead in Christ are going to rise, and then those of us which are alive and remain shall be caught up. That's where we get the word rapture. We will be caught up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. In other words, we will be here and we will be disappearing. Is that such a big deal? You ever heard of a dude in the Bible named Enoch who walked with God? Genesis says, and he was not. In other words, he disappeared. How many of you have ever heard of a guy named Elijah who went to heaven in a chariot of fire? He was here and then he was taken away. God has given us two people in the Bible, both Enoch and Elijah, to let us know, folks, that if God can take two, he can take the rest of us. In a twinkling of an eye, the Bible says, they are here and then they are gone away. They are caught up together with the Lord to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall they ever be with the Lord. Ladies and gentlemen, would you please consider with me tonight what can happen in the United States of America if the rapture took place? And what would it do to our economy, our political system, our military personnel, our families? Our whole society would literally be devastated. By the way, if the rapture took place today in France or Germany, would there be people that would go up? Absolutely. But I'll tell you right now, it's nothing like what would happen in the United States of America. And so we could say safely that if the rapture took place and the Lord came back and there were 7 years of tribulation here on this earth, that there would be a transformation the likes of which none of us ever here could imagine. We don't know where the United States of America fits in specifically, but we know that God is going to fulfill His plan. Jesus is going to return. He is going to bring judgment upon the earth. What then does that mean as we finish tonight as how we should live as Christians? What does this mean for those of us that are in this building tonight? Number one, first and foremost, it means that every one of us should be saved immediately. Folks, let me tell you something. You don't know if the Lord can come back. If the rapture took place tonight and those of you that are in this building would leave this building that are saved, how many of you would be left behind? How many of you would have to go through the tribulation period? We read in 2 Thessalonians that there are people who have heard the gospel over and over and over. When the rapture takes place and the church is removed, those who had heard the gospel and rejected the gospel will experience, like Pharaoh in the Old Testament, a hardening of the heart where they will never respond and receive the gospel. Today is a day of grace, the age of God's judgment. And tribulation upon this earth has not yet fallen. That's why every one of you ought to get saved now. Why? Because the rapture of the church could take place. You need to be saved now. You have no assurance that you'll ever live tomorrow. What does it mean to be saved? It means to come to God and acknowledge your sin, to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior through repentance and faith, acknowledging that He died and rose from the dead for you, turning from your sin, turning and accepting Christ as your Lord and Savior. Don't put your trust in the church. The church cannot save. Only Jesus can save. Don't put your church in your baptism, for baptism cannot take away your sin. Only the blood of Jesus can take away your sin. Don't put your faith in a pastor or a priest, because they are not mediators. There's one mediator between God and man. That's the man, Christ Jesus. Put your faith in Christ. Be saved immediately. Then secondly, how should we live? We should, as believers, live confidently. You know what? The very fact that we know what's going to happen. We know what's going to happen. In shaky times, we're still standing on a solid rock. So how should we live? We should live confidently. You know, I don't know what's going to happen. How do we know that the very foundations are going to be so rocked and so shaken that people everywhere are going to be living in terror and fear, and in the midst of such trouble, we ought to be at peace in the midst of the storms. Folks, the Lord is sovereign. The Lord is in control. The Lord is the ruler of history. Nothing is going to happen that's not going to be out, that's not going to be His will. He will fulfill His will. So as God's people, the more we read the Bible, the more we should live confidently. God takes care of His own. Let me ask you mamas a question. Do you take care of your children? How many of you mothers ever worry about your children? Raise your hand. All right. How many mothers worry about their safety, their protection? Of course. If you care, what about us who are God's children? God's not going to suffer His children to go through His wrath. He's going to protect them. We should live confidently. And then finally, we should serve God fervently. Would you go back, please, to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1? Verse 10 tells us, when He shall come to be glorified in His saints and to be admired in all them that believe. Verse 11, wherefore also we pray always for you that our God would count you worthy of this calling, and fulfill all the good pleasure of His goodness and the work of faith with power. I believe that the closer that we get to the coming of the Lord, I really believe the more we're going to see the power of God unleashed. I really believe that. I believe that God started the age with great power on the day of Pentecost when the Spirit came and 3,000 people were got saved. And He showed us at the very beginning what He's going to do throughout the church age. And prior to His coming, I believe God is going to pour out His Spirit in great ways. And they're not going to be a handful, but there are going to be hundreds of people that are going to come to faith in Christ. They're going to turn to the Lord. How do we know all that God's doing in the world today? What is God doing in China? What about countries like India? What about like the country of the Philippines? And their people have grown up with some semblance of Christianity in their church, but they've never come to Christ. And now the gospel is being preached and these people are getting saved. So how should we live? We should serve God fervently with all of our hearts and souls and give our lives to Him because Jesus Christ is coming again. And may God help you to serve Him with all of your heart.
You've been listening to Harvest Echoes and a message titled The USA in Bible Prophecy from Evangelist Steve Pettit. It was originally presented in November of 2008 at Harvest Baptist Church on Guam. Harvest Echoes provides you access to a rich archive of sermons and lessons presented at conferences and special services at Harvest Baptist Church. Send us a comment or question by visiting our website, hbcguam.net, hbcguam.net. And thank you for listening to Harvest Echoes.